Multi-location advertisers encounter significant operational challenges, particularly when it comes to deploying branded campaigns across various local markets. This task is compounded by the constant evolution of assets, the need for dynamic budgeting, and diverse campaign requirements. To navigate these complexities effectively, it is essential to adopt winning strategies that enhance both efficiency and performance. This episode of our podcast series with Fluency delves into proven methodologies and best practices for optimizing your multi-location advertising portfolio, ensuring that your campaigns are not only streamlined, but also achieve exceptional results across all locations. To kick off this episode, I'd like to introduce my guest today, Andy McClay, Vice President of Engagement and Channels at Fluency, Rachel Bula, Associate Vice President of Growth at Fluency, and Cassie Allinger, Senior Director of Growth Marketing at Wedgwood Weddings and Events. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Multi-location feels like a very complex puzzle that few of us, myself included, fully appreciate. I'd like to start things off today in this episode by digging into some of the unique challenges that multi-location advertisers face. Cassie, I'd like to start with you. What are some of those challenges?
Sure. For this conversation, I feel like it's really important to understand that there's two distinct types of multi-location businesses. So we have some framework. So the most familiar type is a franchise. So think about a Starbucks or a Barnes & Noble, where all the locations share the same brand name and the same general product offering. And then secondly, but probably less familiar or thought of, are brands with multi-location businesses, as in they manage a myriad of individual brands within a parent company umbrella. These are more common in hospitality, travel, real estate, and so on. And of course, there's some unicorns out there that don't fit the mold. But generally, I think this gives us a good framework. I think that's really important when we think about what those challenges are. So I would say probably the most comprehensive challenge is that multi-location businesses have this inherent built-in part of the business, which is competing interests. You have the interests of headquarters, the interests of each potential, maybe regional layer, or maybe even a sub-region, and then also each individual location. And that requires a lot of give and take and a balancing act, and that lives in every aspect of the ad ecosystem. And so out of that, how do you achieve a consistent brand message? How do you achieve consistent performance across those nuances of competing interests? And then again, across 5, 10, 50, 500, 5,000 locations. So I think that first and foremost is the challenge. And from there, how do you personalize that to stand out from the crowd of every other location? That's really, really true for franchise multi-location businesses. For the umbrella businesses, if you will, just to give it a nickname, personalization or individualization of those locations is the model, which helps to address that problem. But creating scale and efficiency around that level of nuance is its own challenge in and of itself.
Now, Rachel, you work with retailers in this space at Fluency. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think retail is difficult to run advertising for just on a national level. So you have all these different campaigns that you want to run. You've got all this different creative you want to have around different events that are going on. But then you really make that complex by how many locations you have. So whether you have to figure that out with 3 locations or 3,000 locations, it just multiplies. So how do you manage all of that within the digital ad platforms? That is a really complex job. And I don't think that ad ops teams get enough credit, quite honestly, for how much work they have to do to keep up with all those locations. It is just copying and pasting hundreds, thousands of lines of campaigns if you don't have a tool that can automate some of these pieces. And so every time there's a change, you have to make those changes on the campaigns. Every time there's a launch, you have to launch that campaign across all these locations. So that doesn't leave a lot of room for the personalization that Cassie is talking about or the regionalization that Cassie's talking about. So that is just a challenge that retail faces no matter what size. You want to be able to speak to certain regions in a certain way. You want to be able to have different campaigns or different sales in different regions, or even at the store level. it's really almost impossible to do that unless you have tools that can automate a lot of that for you. And that's really what Fluency is solving for a lot of these retailers.
You know, and listening to you both, it feels like multi-location is susceptible to Murphy's Law, that if anything can go wrong, it will. What are the work streams that create the biggest bottlenecks and risks for multi-location advertisers? Rachel, let's start with you on this one.
Yeah, I think it's just what I mentioned before, the sheer complexity and scale of it all. So if you want to change something last minute, it's next to impossible. You have to have approvals from the national level, from the regional level, the store level, even at the agency, they have to understand what needs to be changed. And then going in and making those changes or launching across all the different channels, all the different ad sets, the creative, it creates a huge undertaking each time you want to do that. And retailers change things all the time. There are sales happening all the time. There are events happening. There are holidays. There are specific retail holidays. Black Friday, Cyber Monday comes to mind. A lot of times you plan those campaigns months and months in advance, and then something changes when you get closer to the launch date of those special events. And then you might get an executive or, you know, CMO is saying, we decided we want to change the sale amount to be a different campaign altogether. How do you update all that when you've planned that out months ago? A lot of times agencies or in-house teams really struggle with that and they can't make those changes. And there's a lot of friction and pushback internally. And so that bottleneck can be solved with automation. And you don't have to have, not that you shouldn't plan in advance, of course you should, but you don't have to be stuck with the plan. You don't have to have those bottlenecks. You can be more flexible as a team. You can test more. You can make those changes last minute if you have a tool that automates a lot of those changes and bulk edits and bulk changes like Fluency does, which I think is hopefully causes a little bit less human friction internally and maybe happier employees, which I think is important.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, Cassie, in your position, you're in the trenches working on this stuff daily. What are your thoughts?
You know, the phrase human error exists for a reason. And when you are working across such mass scale, there is great opportunity for things to break. And you do it once and you might break it, or you do it once and you do it 100 times and you might break it 100 times, right? So there is so much opportunity for mistake when you are working at large scale. At the same time, with human error comes, you have to find the errors and you enter into this needle in a haystack situation where not only could the mistake be really large, but the mistake could be small in an ecosystem of millions of data points, and it's really hard to find those mistakes. So unlike the other side of having change management and being able to scale to the point of being able to make agile changes to campaigns is also being able to have that control around if something breaks, can we move really swiftly? And also, can we find the error so that that error is resolved really quickly and does not become a mountain? So I think to me, that's probably one of the biggest things. Secondly, Rachel touched on creative execution. And that's certainly, I think, one of the biggest bottlenecks in terms of workflows for multi-location businesses. We talked about personalization and the need for that level of detail with these businesses and being able to introduce that at the creative level, especially across ad platforms that require a lot of data. So we talk about search ads and social ads and images and videos and extensions and all the data that brings in to those creative pieces. Being able to have a system that streamlines all of that is really essential to have your sanity and also to be able to execute campaigns that perform.
Andy, any final words on bottlenecks and risks from you?
I think that both Cassie and Rachel outlined a lot of those core risks really well. You know, both of them have lived in this world and worked through this as marketers. You know, for me, when I hear Cassie say, you know, there's the potential for human error, I think of the two large areas of risk exposure for brands, and that is my budget being spent correctly, and is my brand being represented correctly. So you have two main areas that are important to utilize both human capacity for, but also use what machines are really good at. And that is like hunting down compliance errors and looking for budget mistakes that can like easily get fat fingered by a human being when they're dealing with the scales that we're talking about here, thousands of locations. So I see those two big things as table stakes for large multi-location brands to solve kind of at scale, along with all of the other sort of operational pieces as well.
Let's talk automation for a bit. When it comes to multi-location advertising, how can automation provide custom geo-specific business logic for marketers? Andy, let's go with you on this one.
Sure. You know, as I kind of like cut my teeth in digital marketing, I remember like an old salt in the business telling me that nobody knows their local area like a franchise owner does, right? So you can be the best digital marketer in the world, and it is really complex to understand who's sponsoring a softball team and like what do people call this part of town where you might be targeting, and that you would never know, right? You'd never know that South Burlington, Vermont, people call it SoBu, or, you know, like name whatever sort of term that a real estate person has come up with. And it's difficult to capture all of that information if you're a digital marketer. So like one of the areas where we see automation helping out a lot and technology helping out a lot is like facilitating that conversation between the end advertiser, the people at like at the location, back to the brand strategist. So how do you use technology to take that information, process it, package it up, make campaign changes at scale really quickly while still capturing all of that information that it would be really difficult for someone who wasn't at the location to know? That's kind of like the core piece there. Next, I think Rachel touched on this a little bit. A lot of what happens when you're working through these campaigns manually is you've got a playbook, you copy and paste that playbook over and over and over and over again if you're doing multi-location advertising. Well, if you're using automation, you can take that logic that exists inside of your agency or brand playbook, you can automate that. That allows you to say, hey, this is what I do to like figure out my targeting strategy at scale across these locations. And instead of having to like click the button to actually do it, you can use automation to facilitate that change at like a massive scale rapidly. So Richard, you know this, I love talking about time savings. Like that is like one of those areas where you don't have to hit Control C, Control V a bazillion times. Your playbook's already programmed into the logic. That's where automation really, really shines. Take that like machine level work away from the process and let human beings do what they are great at. And that's having those conversations.
Absolutely love your time savings advocacy. Rachel, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think obviously automating on the setup of campaigns and changes that are happening with each of those locations, because things do change. You might add a new store or location, or you may have one that has a weather event and needs to turn a region off quickly because they're, you know, they need to close down for a few days or weeks. Those types of automations are really important and you need to be able to move quickly. And so that's sort of the, like you said, Andy, the table stakes at the front end. But I think something else that's really difficult for multi-location agencies or brands to manage is the reporting on regional levels and individual location levels. And so sure, if you automate all of the campaign building, you automate budget pacing, you automate setting things up at the front end, now you have more time and that's great. But you could easily fall into the trap of using that time to report on each individual store. And especially if you're dealing with franchisees, they want to know, where is the money that I'm spending going? How is it performing? How am I doing against other owners? Should I be spending more? Am I wasting money? To put those reports together with individual data for those owners or each store manager, for example, that is really cumbersome as well. And that takes so much time, even if you've got, you know, some reporting software that helps you with that. And so if you can use automation to have reporting flow directly out to those franchisees, the store managers, and you don't have to spend a lot of time on that, that's another area where your team can stop spending hours and hours each week or each month on pulling those reports and putting PowerPoint presentations together. You can automate those PowerPoint presentations now. Fluency has a great tool for that. You can send those out. Even just emailing 3,000 store owners would be difficult. So you could automate a lot of that. And then you're really spending your time on what is our strategy. We've saved all this time setting campaigns up. We've saved all this time with our pacing of our budgets. We've saved all this time with automating our reporting. Now let's really dive into strategy and let's really think about ways we can use data and automation to optimize these campaigns and make them perform better. So I think that there's a lot to be saved at setting up for the campaigns, but reporting also is a massive headache for agencies and brands.
Whenever I get a group like this together, I like to hear how the available tools are being used in real-world scenarios. That's always fascinating to me. So this next question is for you, Cassie. I'd love to hear firsthand how Wedgewood Weddings and Events is using Fluency Blueprints as a consolidated operational system to give the listener an idea of how it works in daily use. How are you utilizing it?
I love our Fluency story. I was the original Fluency advocate and brought the team over to Wedgewood Weddings. So I love this question. I'm going to try to keep it condensed. But first things first, I think it would be a mistake to not explain really quickly who we are and what we do. So our company, we operate nearly 70 event venues across the United States. So weddings and events. Our venues span everything from like historic mansions to golf clubs to industrial event centers. And our model is a bit of a unicorn, which is why I defined the different multi-location models earlier. I think it's important to understand that for us, I think we're that unicorn, but more of the umbrella model where we celebrate our local brand as much as the national brand. And that created a really unique challenge for us when it came to executing our campaigns, because each individual location that we have has its own brand, its own history, its own family that started that part of the business. And with our marketing strategy, we aim to celebrate both sides of the story. So it's been almost 5 years, I would say, that we've been using Fluency at Wedgewood Weddings. It's an integral piece of our tech stack, and it really has been a key component to our growth in the business. Since we started with Fluency, we've added nearly 30 venues to our portfolio. So each new launch has been really sustained through the blueprint model and being able to launch really quickly and effectively. But I think about our time with Fluency and how we use Fluency in sort of three key eras. In the very beginning, we had about 40 venues, and I brought Fluency in to scale our efforts. We had an ad agency at the time, and we brought Fluency in to effectively replace them and bring everything in-house. We set up a campaign strategy at the time through Fluency that supported each individual location, their style, their offerings, their unique geographic reach across multiple platforms, media types, et cetera. And then even more so, what was so beautiful about what we built at the time is then we layered on automation logic that connected back to our internal performance numbers and how we manage the business. And so we had our own data that showed how we were performing against goal for each individual location. And we created automations as a team with the Fluency team that moved our bidding and budgeting according to how we are performing against goals in any given month or quarter. And so automating both the launch strategy, but also the performance element was a huge piece of the business and really allowed us to grow really fast and move on to bigger and better things. I would say, secondly, into the story, the pandemic hit and we had to pivot really, really, really fast. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about it, but I had to completely undo everything we built in a matter of days. We simplified to a consolidated model very fast, really just to keep the lights on, and changed our entire marketing strategy so that we could survive for a while. And Fluency made that really, really easy. And fast forward into this most recent era of growing again, we began hosting events, business starts to come back to life, and we were able to leverage Blueprints and just the entire Fluency platform to begin to test new strategies across the portfolio at the same time as we started to bring on a lot of new business. So we developed a new framework and a new strategy that combined a little bit of everything, breaking down a national structure, a regional structure, and a local structure with then other venue and business-specific executions that get triggered based on performance or what is needed in any given month or quarter. And so we have this balance of the old and the new, but I think that what's been really powerful for me and for us is that we're able to spend more time focusing on strategic work, testing out different audiences and executions and strategies and frameworks within the whole ecosystem without it taking a team of 10 and hundreds of hours. In the past, if I were to have tried to do this without such a platform, just the QA work alone would have been 3 to 4 weeks of the types of executions that we're able to roll out now in a matter of hours. So we use it everywhere. We use it every day. And I know that I can lean on Fluency anytime we want to execute something new or try something new.
That's a great story. And thank you for the additional context. That's really good to know. For my last question, and I'm going to pose this to each of you individually, as we're discussing multi-location, how can a major national brand with thousands of local brands, regional brands, these could be car dealerships or restaurants or any sort of franchise or what have you. It could be, you know, I don't know, a place where kids train for Taekwondo, as I'm about to go to one of those here any moment. How can they achieve a good media mix? And Cassie, you're on a roll. Let's start with you.
Sure. So not to beat a dead horse, but I really think scale is everything. Like, you have to be able to support scale across your portfolio in just one channel in order to expand to other channels in order to really have a media mix. I think that every business, multi-location or not, is going to have their foundational mix. For ours, it's a mixture of search and retargeting, some display for brand and demand gen, and then some paid social. And I'd say for that foundational mix, we run about 85% of that through Fluency. And I think that's really incredible. In doing that, we're also able to have this experimental budget for new media, for traditional media, for anything really in between, and spend all of that extra time on experimentation. And then also just like this freedom to explore and be excited about the work that you're doing, which I'm a firm believer that marketers need to be passionate about their work. And this really allows us to do that. So in terms of that media mix, it's really going to depend on the business and the business goals and the audience that you're trying to reach. But I think in this context of a franchise or a multi-location business, it really comes back to scale and having a process in place that allows you to operate effectively.
Rachel, I see you nodding. What would you like to add?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything that Cassie is saying. I think she summed it up really nicely in saying that in order to have a media mix at all, you have to have your baseline channels be scalable. So if you can't automate or you can't figure out, let's just say Google paid search, Bing paid search, how do you test other channels? So a lot of agencies or in-house teams will start with one or two channels. If you're able to automate those channels and figure out how to optimize performance, make things simpler, then you have the capacity to test new things, especially with a partner like Fluency. We have channels that maybe some agencies haven't tested or haven't been able to cover on their baseline, especially with some multi-location businesses have thousands of locations across the country or the world even, and each of those has a very small budget. So if you've always wanted to see what happens when you test programmatic, for example, or you want to go outside of just Google and Meta. If you want to test, we're doing an Amazon sponsored display is one of our channels right now. So some agencies, especially with smaller budgets, until they have those base channels covered, they're not able to try new things out. But we make it really easy to get the foundational media mix there. And then you can put a little bit of money into new channels that you haven't tried. Basis is a great example, one of our programmatic partners. A lot of people that we work with, a lot of agencies that we work with have been able to try out Basis, have been able to try out Amazon sponsored display because they got their foundation covered. So Cassie, you're right in saying that you can't really have a media mix until you've got the foundation covered. And we make the foundation covering very easy so that you can try new things.
And Andy, final thoughts.
I think that both Rachel and Cassie have summed it up well. Cassie's got a world-class team at Wedgwood Weddings and Events, and they have put in a lot of work analyzing where those operational bottlenecks are and have worked closely with our team. But that doesn't mean that you can do the kind of self-reflection work and figure out where all of those workflow bottlenecks exist inside of your team. And, you know, there's a number of ways that you can kind of solve that. But I think that once you figure out exactly where your time is being spent and where your time is being wasted inside of an organization, then you can automate those workflows. Then that gives you exactly what Cassie was talking about before. Speed to market, speed to decision, speed to everything becomes much, much easier once you have the ability to control everything at scale. So my key takeaway for anybody would be do that self-reflection, self-assessment piece there, figure out where your time is being spent. And then you can approach a tool provider like Affluency to help automate those workflows.
And that's all the time we have for today, wrapping up episode 3 of our 4-part mini-series. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. In our next episode, we'll be discussing how to create a data-powered advertising strategy. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast at your podcast store of choice so that you don't miss episode 4 or any other upcoming episodes. Thanks for listening. To learn more about Fluency, you can check them out at fluency.inc, where you can schedule a consultation, view case studies and automation, or use their free tool to help you calculate the time and cost savings you can experience with automation.